Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, You Make It Happen.
Father, as we open your word this morning, we pray, we ask you that you would do your work in us in these moments. We know, God, that you send your word out with purpose and that it does not return to you void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which you send it. We pray that we might submit to you now, and that, Holy Spirit, you would do your work in our hearts and minds and knit us together into a beautiful body of Christ as we learn together, grow together, and encourage one another, and as we are encouraged from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, that has been our text for the last several weeks, and we're going to be looking at that again this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 11 through 16 this morning. We must have about 100 jigsaw puzzles at our house. We have four kids, so some of the jigsaw puzzles we have are wooden ones with only a few pieces. They're very easy to put together for toddlers and things, and then we have them all the way up to probably 1,000 pieces or more. And now, I'm sure this would never happen at your house, but at our house, sadly, some of these puzzles don't have all of the pieces together in one box. So, you know, we're not real type A people when it comes to getting puzzles back in the box, I guess. Maybe you're like that. My wife Nancy and I are more, what's the word, apathetic about picking up puzzle pieces after the puzzles have been put together. You know, maybe there's one on the dining room table and it's time to eat, and it's sort of like, can't we just set the food on top of it? And worry about it later. Maybe some of the pieces get eaten. I don't know. All I know is they're not in the right box anymore. And I'm not going to say that they're lost, because they're probably in our house somewhere, but they're just not where they're supposed to be. And it's disappointing, because especially when you work on one of these, you ever work on a great big puzzle with you know, 1,000 pieces, and it takes hours and hours, and then you get to the end and there's a piece missing over here. And there's a piece missing over here, and maybe one down here and here. And, you know, you have most of the beautiful image that you're supposed to have, but you also have these pesky little places where your table is poking through, you know. And maybe it's just part of a tree or something, but still, here you've put in all this effort, and the picture isn't complete. The last few weeks at Valley, we've been talking about how each one of us is an important piece of the picture that God is putting together here at Valley Christian Church. Each one of us is part of the image, if you will, that God is making here at Valley. Each one of us, an important part of the work that God wants to accomplish through Valley. We just sang, we make it happen. We make it happen. You're included in that. And if any one of us should decide for whatever reason that we're not as important as somebody else, or maybe we just don't have that much to offer, or if we're not fully engaging in the life of the church, then like that puzzle that's incomplete, Valley as a congregation will have these places where there are gaps and missing parts of the image. Because maybe Some of us aren't fully engaged in giving everything that God has for us to give as a part of this congregation. So I want to encourage you today that you are an important part of what God is doing here at Valley Christian Church. You are part of the image, the picture, the beautiful tapestry that God is putting together here at Valley. You play a vital role. We all do. And it's all different, right? We all have different parts to play, but they're all integral. And like a puzzle, they all interlock with each other. And God is going to make something beautiful out of that. Today, we're going to think specifically about how God is calling all of us together, how we each have a part in making Valley a community that learns together. We make learning happen together. The first thing I want to call to your attention today is that the invitation to become Jesus' disciple is an invitation to learn from him. In fact, the Greek word that we translate as disciple is mathetes, and one of the primary meanings of that word in Greek is learner, somebody who learns. Think of an apprentice who's looking at somebody who's more accomplished than them, trying to understand what they know in order to be able to do what they do. Jesus offers this invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus looked around at his fellow Israelites and he saw that their practice of religion, the way that they were trying to relate to God had become burdensome, was sucking all the life out of them. And Jesus realized it's not supposed to be like that. So Jesus says, come to me if you're burdened, if you're weary. I will show you a different way to relate to God. I will show you a different way to live in the world. And my way is easy. My burden is light. In fact, it will seem like rest to you, shalom to you, if you will come and follow me. All of us, each one of us, is someone's disciple. If you think about it, you can probably think and identify who have been the main influences in your life. Who have you learned from? Who has shaped you, taught you, formed you? We're all disciples of someone. Jesus invites us to come and be his disciples, to become apprentices of him. In fact, this is the only way that Jesus can truly become our Lord, is if we will engage in a process of learning from him. He can't exercise control or authority over our lives unless we will truly come to him and say, Jesus, I am so taken with you. Out of anybody else that I could possibly choose to model my life after, I have chosen you because I believe you are the smartest, the most virtuous, the most wise, the most loving master that I could have. And so I am submitting myself to you. I'm surrendering myself to you. I want to put myself under your authority, and I want to enroll in the school of Jesus. I want to know what you know, Jesus. I want to see the world the way you see it. I want to understand things the way that you understand them. And when I do that, I know that I'll be able then to act like you act and to respond the way that you respond, to have your character, to have your righteousness. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to become like Christ, so we have to learn from him. Every disciple of Jesus, what we're saying is, Jesus, if you had my life, If you lived at my address, you had my family, my friends, worked my job, if you had my gifts and talents, my blessings and opportunities, my challenges and trials, Jesus, how would you do it? How would you live, Jesus, if you were in my shoes? That's what we want to know. Why is that worth knowing? Because we are convinced that Jesus would have the best possible way of living. And so we want to follow him into that life. We want to learn from him how to live our lives. So a life of discipleship in Christ is a life of constant learning from him. Now, of course, back in the day, if Jesus would approach you and say, Michaela, follow me. Well, it would be easy at that point to drop your nets or your volleyball or, you know, whatever, and actually go with him right then. I mean, physically walk with him and listen to his teaching and watch his miracles and see how he interacts with people. But of course, now that Jesus has ascended, we can no longer do that. But God has made provisions for this. Look what the Apostle Peter says. After Jesus has ascended, the Apostle Peter, who had been with him, writes this: His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Isn't that good news, friends? That God has given us everything we need for a godly life? There's nothing that we could possibly need that we could say, well, if only I had this, it's been provided already. God has given us all of the resources that we need for everything he's calling us to do and be in response to life in the kingdom. So this morning, what are God's resources, particularly as it relates to learning? How do we continue learning? If we can't walk with Jesus and hear his teaching and observe what he's doing, what kinds of resources do we have so that we can continue to learn from him and become his disciple? First thing, he has given us his presence through the Holy Spirit. At one point, as Jesus is telling the disciples that he's going to die on the cross, that his earthly life is coming to an end, that he's going someplace that they won't be able to follow him, they're distraught about this, and he can see that they're upset as he tells them this. They're losing their friend, their master, their Lord. But Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Advocate. I'm going to send you my Spirit. And he says something quite remarkable. He tells his disciples, it's better for you that I'm going away. It's better for you that I'm going away. Because the Holy Spirit is going to continue my ministry, and he won't just be beside you, he will be within you. He will be within you. In the course of that teaching, which is at the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus says a couple of things to indicate that the Holy Spirit is going to continue his teaching ministry. All this I have spoken to you while still with you, Jesus says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will what? Teach you all things. And will remind you of everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit not only reminds us of what Jesus has said, but will teach us more and more, reveal to us new things about the kingdom, and particularly as it relates to our journey in the kingdom. As we have to make decisions day by day, the Holy Spirit is a constant companion to us as we have to navigate all the choices and the difficulties and the opportunities of life. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with us. Jesus also teaches, he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. So Jesus says, look, there's more that I want to tell you, but now isn't the time. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Holy Spirit is with us to guide us and teach us and remind us of everything that Jesus has taught so that we can continue to learn. Now, if you're at all like me, the Holy Spirit is someone that I am still getting to know. Is that true for you? God's Holy Spirit is someone that I'm still learning how to live with and walk with and work with on a daily basis. But I think that I wanted to begin here because I want to emphasize to you that I think Jesus would hold this up and say, this is the distinctive of the new covenant, that we have been given God's Spirit and that we are never alone. God's presence is with us. And so I want to encourage you, friends, to continue to get to know God's presence, his Holy Spirit, who is within you. Is it okay to talk to the Holy Spirit? I think so. It helps me, you know, when I'm having times of prayer to recognize that my prayers don't have to somehow teleport to some distant place in the universe through all time and space to reach this God that I believe in. I think what Jesus wants us to know is that God has come from his heavenly realm and has brought himself close to us. So that when we pray, we can envision and imagine that God is as close to us as the air we're breathing. He's right here with us. He's very present with us. So it's okay for us to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is with us and to ask the Holy Spirit for guidance and to remind us of what Jesus has taught and to continue to teach us the truth that Jesus said that he would. So we rely upon the Holy Spirit. Secondly, God has given us his word. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're very blessed, my friends, to be part of a congregation that holds God's word in such high esteem. Amen. Pastor Dave goes to great lengths to help anyone who is willing to learn how to read and understand and apply God's word through his Useful Breath blog. And every Sunday when we're together, we hear both Old and New Testament scriptures read to us. We sing scripture songs that both Dave and Jonathan have written and are continuing to write. We are blessed that we are a part of a congregation that upholds God's word and puts it before us constantly. We're blessed because this is one of God's primary resources that he's given to us so that we can continue to learn. So what can we learn from God's word? I mean, think of the riches. Think of the riches that are contained in God's word. Here we have a record of what God has done, how he has interacted with people of faith throughout history, warnings, commandments, laws, instructions on how to live, given out of his love for us to protect us from areas that aren't safe for us and that we could find harm and danger. We have promises that shape our hope for the future. We're told a lot about who God is, what his character is like. We're told, friends, about who we are, about who we used to be before we came to know God through Christ. And that's kind of a bleak picture, isn't it? We also are told who we are now in Christ, how we've been adopted into his family through the blood of Jesus Christ, about how we've been given a new purity, a new disposition of heart, a new power to live out all the commands that God has given to us. He's making us into something glorious, friends. And so it's crucial that daily we go to his word and continue to use this resource to continue to learn from him. Finally, in our text for today, we see that, we see that God has also gifted certain people in his church with certain gifts and abilities that help the church continue to learn. Paul says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This listing here that I've highlighted in color, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that's not an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts, is it? I think what Paul is doing here is highlighting specific gifts that certain people have that particularly focus toward the body of Christ that help us continue to learn and know who God is. Apostles, people who are sent out with the message and the authority of God. You think today of church planters or missionaries, right? People who are sent out to maybe a new people group who haven't yet heard the word of God, who haven't yet heard the gospel. And we as a group of people say, we are sending you. And we're sending this summer, aren't we? We're sending groups to, you know, Romania and various places to take God's love and his message to these various places who need it. That's what an apostle is, someone who's sent out. Prophets, well, you ever meet a prophet? You might not like them. They don't always tell you what you want to hear. Prophets speak forth the word of God. Now, don't think, you know, most prophecy isn't about things that are in the future. Most prophecy is just God, people speaking. Think of a preacher, okay? People who bring conviction and instruction and correction to God's people. That's a prophet, okay? What about evangelists? We talked about evangelism last week. People who bring the good news, share the good news with people who haven't heard it. Unlike apostles, they don't need to be sent out to foreign places. They can do that right here in the neighborhood. Pastors, people who shepherd God's flock, who take care of hurts and needs and take care of the heart and the soul of God's people. And then teachers, just people who can expound the word of God and make it plain and help us understand it and apply it in our lives. So God gives these special gifts, these special abilities to people so that the church can continue to learn. So God has given us, I'll just mention these three resources, his Holy Spirit, his word, special gifts to people in the church. But remember, God provides the resources, but what's our tagline for the series? We make it happen, right? I've never seen a Bible read itself. Doesn't work that way, right? God gives the resources. We have to then engage the resources and do these disciplines, right? Why do we do them? To make God love us more? Not possible. Why do we engage these resources that God has given to us? They're not acts of righteousness. If we're serious about discipleship, folks, we want to get our hands on all of the resources that God has given to us to say, I'm hungry for more of Jesus. I want to continue to learn from him and become more like him, and reading God's word helps me do that. taking classes and book clubs at church. They helped me do that. Man, we live in an unprecedented time, don't we? Where think of all the resources we have available at our fingertips through the internet, through you know, the information age that we live in. There's no shortage of resources. Is there a shortage of utilizing the resources? We together, Valley, make a commitment to say, we are going to continue learning together. We're going to offer opportunities to do that. We're going to cheerlead each other and say, come on, let's go. I expect you guys to be learning along with me. This is something we're doing together. You said you wanted to, so let's go. All right. Finally, learning together, Paul teaches us, helps the church grow to maturity. We've read these verses several times in the last few weeks. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. No one would deliberately not tell you the truth, would they? Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each part does its work. I have work to do. You have work to do. When we all do the work that's given to us, the body matures and gets stronger. Parents, you love your kids, right? How many years would you like them to spend in the second grade? One. Let's say one. Be good. There's a reason they make those desks so small. You know, you're not supposed to be sitting there when you're 23, struggling to get out. There's an expectation, right? Grow up. 1 year here and then you're on to the next thing. You learn, you grow, you mature. We need to create a culture at Valley that has that same expectation. One of my professors in Bible college, Paul McAllister, said, Sunday school's the only school you never graduate from. Which, you know, is kind of a two-sided coin, right? I mean, on the one hand, it's good that they don't kick you out. You know, you can keep coming and keep learning. But on the other hand, you know, when you graduate, there's sort of this sense of like, okay, you learned it. Now we expect you to go do it. Is that expectation built into the way we're learning and functioning here at Valley? I think in our kids' classes, certainly, there's a progression, but adults, I mean, is there this sense of like, okay, you know, time to push away from the table and get up and say, now I got to practice this. Now I got to go do some of this stuff. And then when I figure out, you know, well, this was good, this I have some questions about, this I need to learn more about, then you come back into the classroom and you workshop it a little bit more, right? But learning is best when it's happening alongside praxis, right? You know, you learn it and then you try to do it. And then that's the way discipleship works and that's the way maturity happens. You know, Paul here points out that one of the great things that happens when we learn together is that we grow in discernment. Would you like to be able to, in every situation, be able to tell good from evil? Right from wrong? Light from darkness? Orthodoxy from heresy? You know, there are a lot of voices out there. There are a lot of things happening in our world, and it can be very confusing to say, I just don't know. Does God know? Yeah. Is he going to tell us everything? Probably not. But can we learn more and more and become more like Jesus, grow in wisdom and discernment? Of course we can. And the Holy Spirit guides us through that process. So friends, what is your part in making learning happen at Valley? Now, some of you I know are saying, Brad, I'm not a teacher. That's not my gift. That's not what I'm going to do. That's okay. Not all of us have been given the gift of teaching or prophecy or apostleship or the ones that were mentioned. Yours might not even show up on that list, but that doesn't mean then that you know, you're out of the loop on the learning deal here, okay? We all are going to engage in making Valley a learning community. So how do we do that? Well, one of the things that strikes me as being very evident is that we can all be learning, right? We can all be learning. We can all take up the resources that God has given to us. We can all learn to walk with God's Spirit. We can all take up God's Word. We can all rely on the people who are teaching and shepherding and prophesying in our congregation, you know, telling the truth. We can all benefit from those things, and we need to make a decision that says, I'm not going to be idle. I'm not just going to sit around and say, forgiveness is good enough for me. No. I think forgiveness is great, but it's not the only thing God has in store for you. Life, abundant life, is what he has in store for you. And the more you will learn from him, the more that life will open up to you. So let's all be learning. Those of you who can teach, teach. It's not difficult. I'm so grateful for you know, the people in our congregation who are teaching, who are teaching me, who are teaching my kids. Thank you to those who are exercising your teaching gifts. If you feel like you have the ability to teach, but you're not currently being utilized as a teacher, Sherry, JJ, is that something that somebody could talk to you guys about and say, I'm interested in teaching. I think I have something to offer. Could we find a place for me here at Valley? They're shaking their heads, yes. So, you know, if you think, well, I have the ability to be a teacher, then have a conversation about that and say, I need to plug in and start utilizing that gift. And the last thing I want to say to you is this. We all have a story. We all have a story about our life with God. And I want to hear your story. And when I listen to your story, I'm going to learn from that story. I'm going to learn about how God has been present in that. I will probably see evidence of his faithfulness in that and how he's working in your life. And I'll probably be reminded of his promises and his goodness through that. I'll learn about you. And if you're honest with me, I'll learn about the places where you've been faithful and where you're growing. I may also learn about how you're hurting and how you're struggling and how this isn't turning out the way you thought it might. It's more difficult than you thought. And, you know, I want to learn about that part too, because I want to know you and I want us to learn and grow together. And maybe I could speak into that and say, well, maybe there's a part of my story that connects up with your story. So I think telling our stories to each other, and we all have a story, is a great way for us to engage in learning together and growing together. So none of us is exempt from help making Valley a learning community. And so I want to encourage you today, friends, continue pursuing Christ. Will you say yes to his invitation when he says to you, come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I want you to experience that his burden is easy and light, and that he, in fact, does have rest for your souls. More than any other master, more than you, if you're trying to be your own master, Jesus is a better master and a better teacher. Taste and see. Let's pray. God, we thank you that even though Jesus is no longer walking among us on earth, we still have the ability to learn from him, to walk with you through your Spirit, to be guided by your word, to be surrounded by people that you've gifted to teach us and encourage us and instruct us. God, continue to build up Valley Christian Church as a community that's learning from you how to be like you, how to do what you do, so that we can effectively take your kingdom to people who don't know it yet, so that we can live in it more fully, so that we can be a blessing, and so that we can glorify you, God. Help us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.